him! It's him!
Now, Cisco!
Hey there, Central City Underground. This is Julia, a.k.a. the Elfie One.
And this is Jada, a.k.a. Story's Voice.
We are here to talk to you about The Flash on the CW, and we are Central City Underground, part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Today we are talking about the season premiere of Season 4, which was called The Flash Reborn.
This episode was written by Todd Helbing and Eric Wallace. We know that Todd Helbing is part of the Helbing siblings. I believe his brother won't be joining us this season. He's left it all to Todd. But Eric Wallace, the other writer, has actually done quite a bit. He has written for... Actually, this is actually his first writing for The Flash.
Oh, okay.
But he's done Teen Wolf. He's done Ben 10. He's done Z Nation and Eureka. All right. Which are kind of cool genre shows.
Yeah.
So he's got a little bit of credit there. And I thought this wasn't too bad as the first outing for The Flash. This episode was also directed by Glenn Winter. Glenn Winter has directed several episodes of The Flash before. He's done Trajectory, The Nuclear Man, Flash versus Arrow, and Going Rogue. You know, he also directed the Supergirl pilot, the Legends of Tomorrow pilot, and he's done lots of Arrow and Smallville. So this guy's got some history with the DC TV. Let's get into this episode.
All right. What did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. I know a lot of my excitement is just about having the Flash back after the hiatus.
We back, baby.
And they didn't let us down. It was exciting. There was some drama. We got great, great action sequences.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I can't wait to talk about those.
Plenty of Cisco, which I always love. Cisco's funny as ever. We got all the cast and the crew coming back. It was a pretty good start for a season. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a lot of fun. There were only a couple of little qualms that I had with this episode. Little hand-wavy stuff, which I think quite a lot of people in the Facebook group, Central City Underground, were also pointing out, and I have to agree with them. A couple of things were just a little too easy, maybe, but I also believe that we have not yet seen all of the consequences of Barry leaving the Speed Force. So I mostly really, really loved this episode. I thought it was a great start to the season, a lot of action. So I think I was pretty generous with my rating. I'm going to give it an 8.8 out of 10 Speedy Jesuses.
8.8 Speedy Jesuses. All right. Well,
what rating did you give it?
I thought it was pretty good. I don't think I thought it was quite as nice of an episode as you did. I gave it 7 Naked Bearded Berries Fresh from the Speed Force.
Yes, I love it. Shall we just jump in and start talking about the episode? What happened? And
kind of
go in chronological order here? All right. So we started the episode with a voiceover by Iris, which that was very fitting. Boss Iris. Huh?
Oh yeah, that's something. She we all wanted Iris to do a little bit more, something more akin to what she was doing in Flashpoint. And I guess she definitely has. She's taking over the reins.
She took over. Her dad is calling her boss.
Yeah, she got kind of scary there for a second.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, she is a strong woman in charge.
It was also good to see Cisco in the field.
Yes.
She kind of took his place at the desk.
Confident in his abilities. Absolutely. You know, I wrote down, is Iris the new Felicity of this team? Because that would be really cool, you know, a little Overwatch action. Yeah, to see Vibe and Kid Flash out there doing their thing as a team, that was super fun. They both seemed really confident in their abilities. And, you know, it's just cool to see them in their element and knowing what they're doing. And yeah, that was really, really fun. And we learned that Barry has been gone for 6 months, so they have had some time to be out there in Central City saving the city and catching bad guys.
Yeah, and from the looks of it, they were pretty well coordinated. Like, they understood what the other was doing. They made a good team.
Yes, they had a whole system with Iris on the intercoms, you know, telling them what to do and telling them where to go. And I loved it when Wally was like, yeah, I know what to do.
Right? Yeah, that was great. I mean, granted, she did say that they only caught a third of the villains.
That's true. But, yeah, maybe they weren't as good at catching bad guys. But, you know, they've got to make it clear that they are missing Barry. You know, it can't be easy for them to do what they're doing without him there.
Yeah, we have to have a reason other than loving him to need him.
Yeah, absolutely. So we see them chasing Peekaboo.
Peekaboo's back, yeah.
Peekaboo. And I loved the way they caught her with Cisco with a peekaboo-ya, grabs her, and then Kid Flash just runs right into her and jumps through that portal along with Cisco. And then Joe finishes it off at the end.
Teamwork, yeah.
It was a good grab.
Teamwork, but is it Team Vibe or Team Kid Flash? They didn't. They couldn't seem to agree on that.
They could not agree. But I have to say, Team Kid Flash is a lot of syllables.
It is.
But, you know, they could have just stayed Team Flash in my mind because, you know, they were always Team Flash working together. And in Barry's memory, I think it would have been nice to just sort of keep that name. But I understand. It had comedic effect, of course.
They knew deep down inside it's always going to be Team Flash.
Yeah. So next we see them go to Star Labs, right? And we immediately get back to the hallway of exposition that we know and love.
Yay! first appearance of the hallway. Yay!
Yes. We see Iris leading the team, and then we start to run into a little bit of maybe the power dynamics that have been going on since Barry's left, right?
Yeah. Definitely. Mainly being Iris in control, unquestionably.
Yes. It is really hard to watch her in this episode, I think, be so without hope to have Barry back. I love seeing her in this strong, commanding role, but to have lost faith that he was going to return to her was really heartbreaking.
Completely heartbreaking. Sad Iris is about as bad as sad Cisco. Either one, just no, please.
Oh, but at least Cisco was back to, you know, making nerdy references and
yes,
being back to his good old self, along with some excellent vibe powers. Oh, and then we see Cecile and
Cecile's back. Yes,
Joe. Yes, Cecile is moving in.
Ooh.
Trying to get rid of Joe's albums.
Ooh. Oh no. Yeah, you can't get rid of a man's vinyl.
No. Oh, maybe we just bury them now. Ouch, Cecile.
Yeah, that was a deep cut. But actually, that was a really good scene. I enjoyed that scene because it was a family dinner. I mean, yes, Wally wasn't there because he had 4 hours of training to do. But it's good to know that, yeah, Barry was gone, but they kept up some regular things that would keep their spirit up. They weren't completely crushed.
Yes, agreed. Next, I believe, was the samurai, the flying samurai, showing up. Well, after we see Iris go home and have a sad moment, not being able to look at the photo and sleeping on
her
couch.
Did you see the state of that apartment? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So this flying samurai shows up, and here's one of the tiny little qualms that I had. They just, you know, they cut straight to, oh, Iris is in Star Labs now. How did she get there so quickly? It seemed like a, you know, just a little hand wavy, like, oh, everybody's exactly where they need to be immediately. And I guess we're just cutting out the travel time.
Maybe they live near Star Labs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. maybe Cisco vibed her over there real quick.
There you go. When she called and said we're up, he knew to vibe her to the lab. And then he'd vibe himself to.
Yeah. Maybe that is part of the system. Good call.
Headcanon accepted.
There you go. So we meet the samurai who pulls an excellent reverse Excalibur, according to to Cisco. And
that was a beautiful moment. The explosion was
great. That was some really cool graphics there. Very cool. And so this is obviously not your normal everyday samurai.
The everyday flying samurai, right? Now. Of course, we find out that Wally knows Japanese.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, you know, of course he does. He's got lots of, he's a fast learner. He's got lots of time to learn any language he wants to, because I'm sure he can do it in like a minute. Right?
I wonder if that's what they were hinting at, because that would be cool. And we've seen Barry speed read and learn things. Maybe he just retained some Japanese along the way somewhere. I'm down.
I can do things.
Yes. Yeah, what? I think that was the point at which, was it Cisco? Someone said that there are other superheroes in this town.
I think that was Wally.
That was Wally.
Yeah, I think he was just referring to themselves because the TV report says something about how the Flash is still missing, but it doesn't say anything about these other superheroes who are out there trying to save the city in his place.
That makes sense. I was trying to figure out who was referring to.
I think he just means, hey, we're out there. But this is where we discover that Iris really is, trying to move forward, trying to not necessarily forget about Barry, but to just, move the team forward and focus on what's happening right now. And Cisco really wants to try and get Barry back. And so we see him find our old friend Caitlin at a bar.
Yes. that was a surprise.
Yes, and she seems to be just Caitlin, which I was not expecting. And I know 6 months have gone by, but I certainly didn't expect to just see regular Caitlin again.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure what I thought she would be up to, but I didn't picture her bartending.
No.
Of course, his line is great. What does he say? Yes, I'll have something sweet, separately strong with lots of ice. Oh. That was great. It took me a second to realize, wait a minute, he's talking about Caitlin. Gotcha.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Shirley Temple, coming right up. So he convinces her rather easily to come and help them try and get Barry back. So we see them out in the old, a runway that they're on where they used to do some training and where they, I think that's where they ran into Supergirl's universe, if I remember correctly, that runway out there. Is that?
I believe so. Yeah. I think that's the runway. Yeah. I know it's the one he's been training on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That must be where he had a little tachyon device and literally ran into her universe.
So he has made a few modifications, as Captain Solo would say, to the Speed Force bazooka.
Right. Yes.
And he has a plan. Cisco has a plan to get Barry back.
Oh, yeah. This is great. Yeah, this is the part also where Joe finds out Caitlin is back.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And that lovely little moment between them when he, again, very quickly forgives her. But I think it's clear to him that this is Caitlin again and that he is not standing in front of Killer Frost.
Yeah. And, I think that just adds to the whole Joe is awesome thing. He he's just full of love and he's just like the moral compass for the group. And he knows.
Love him.
Joe's the man.
So they attempt to use the bazooka and it doesn't seem to work right away.
Right. And at that point, I thought, okay, cool. They're not getting Barry back right away. So maybe it'll be a couple episodes, he'll be in the Speed Force and, they'll try a couple of things and see what happens there.
Oh, wait. But there's naked bearded Barry flashing through the city and is found 300 miles away from the city. That poor family in that pickup truck, they must have been so scared.
Yeah, just traumatized. I was actually trying to figure out what was going on because it seemed so easy to get Barry back. It was like, wait a second, I thought a speedster had to be in the Force to take the place of the speedster coming out.
That is the question, isn't it? And that's part of the question of whether or not we're going to see more consequences of this episode in the future.
Well, on the second watch, I realized that the little red ball that they sent through had Barry's DNA in it. That's what Cisco had said.
Oh, good catch.
So, as far as the Speed Force is concerned, then there's a speedster inside.
I didn't even put that together. That is an excellent catch. Great. So until the Speed Force realizes that that isn't actually Barry, which, who knows if that'll happen or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line they have to fix this somehow. But hey, Jada, good catch.
Hopefully that won't come back to bite them.
Hopefully not. So we find Barry back at the police station, and turns out he is not quite our Barry anymore. He's a little bit beautiful mind Barry.
Yes. Barry's seen some things.
Yes. And I think it was Caitlin who said that he could have been in there for, 10,000 years, even though it was only 6 months to us. It could have been an eternity for him in there. And that would make anybody lose their mind to be alone for that long.
It's very reminiscent of what happened last season with Savitar. in there so long that he goes crazy.
Oh, yeah. Although I wonder how much of it is craziness and how much of it is just, I don't know if it's sort of telling the future in a way. I think it was Tony on Facebook who said something like he wondered if a lot of the stuff that he was saying was stuff that we will hear later in this season. Because I know that there were some things he was saying that came from the past, you know, when he was talking to Oliver, for instance, and he said, I just don't think that I am like you, Oliver. I said, ooh, I remember when he said that. And there were a couple of other things, too, that I think there might have been a quote from Captain Cold in there and a couple other people, conversations that he had had earlier in his life. So I wouldn't be surprised if we discovered later in the season what a couple of those things were. And it's just the fact that he was in there for so long. He saw all of time and that somehow got stuck in his head.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm convinced that there was quite a bit of foreshadowing going on with all of his future or time displaced speak.
Absolutely. You know? Even this house is bitchin', which I don't know what that is, but I wonder if we're going to see that again later in the season, if we'll find out what that is.
I hope so.
I have a feeling we might, but we're jumping ahead because next...
We are.
They bring Barry back to Star Labs. Going to run some tests, find out what's going on with him. And it doesn't seem like they're coming up with any answers until Iris asks to have the room, which you just know is going to be a sad, sad moment.
I know.
Sweet.
As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, maybe this is it. Because, you know, she's his lightning rod.
Right? Which she always pretty brings accurate. Him back. Because as soon as she touched him, his eyes did the lightning flash thing, and he started running around Star Labs like a hyper cat at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I wasn't quite sure about that. I understand that she triggered, I guess, the Speed Force in him, but what was he doing?
I'm not sure. She triggers something. And I wonder if he's just got all that like pent up Speed Force energy that he's got to get out. And the only way he can do it is by running.
It makes sense.
It's a theory.
You know, and another way that I thought about it was that maybe being in the Speed Force, things weren't so as linear.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, things happening in all kinds of ways. I don't know. But maybe it was just a matter of time before eventually he realized that things are moving in a particular direction. And eventually he would have gotten back to being the Barry we know. But Iris. Iris. Always Iris. She kind of sparked something in him.
Always. So next, Sisko successfully translates with a little bit of help from Caitlin with her "it's all Greek to me" comment, successfully translates the language that Barry has been writing in, which somebody on Facebook also pointed out that the writing was very reminiscent of the writing of the aliens in Arrival. I don't know if you saw that movie, but the circular language. I thought that was kind of, maybe that was a little homage. I don't know, but that was a cool little thing.
It looks slightly Kryptonian to me as well.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it was Kryptonian. I'm not sure. Maybe Kryptonian.
Excellent. So it translates to, "this house is bitchin'."
Yeah.
What does that mean? That doesn't sound like Barry. And Sisko says, no, that's because it isn't. We see him defeated again. So everybody seems a little dejected. And and we get that little scene with Joe shaving the beard off of Barry.
That was so sad.
It was. I kind of liked the beard. Although I wondered why it wasn't a lot longer if he was in there for such a long time.
Yeah. I'm not so sure I was a fan of the beard.
No. I've always wondered why Barry's beard doesn't just continuously grow really fast all the time. And his hair. It seems like his metabolism would force him to cut his hair and beard every day, many times a day. But again, that's hand wavy.
We'll let that one go.
Yeah. So then we get a little nice talk with Joe and Iris, in which we learn
Joe gives the best talks.
He does. He's got that dad thing down. And we learned that Cecile has gotten him to go to church and that he learned a valuable lesson there, that strength means nothing without faith. Which I thought was lovely, and Iris obviously took it to heart.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah. That completely informed her of what she needed to do.
Absolutely. That was great. Because the next moment, Samurai is back, and she decides that she is going to go offer herself up to him, tell him to take her away so that Barry will come and save her.
I kind of figured she was going to do that when she whispered, what did she say to him? She said, come get me.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yep.
That was great. I was like, oh, she's going to make him come to reality, make him snap back with the only thing that would ever do. Iris in danger.
Boy, is she lucky that worked.
Yeah. That was a huge gamble.
Right? So, yeah, she just walks right up to the samurai, which, how many cops were standing there and just let her walk right on by, right up to samurai, and Joe's the only one who says, Iris, stop. What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think the cops might get a little bit lazy with so many superheroes around. They're like, eh.
Yeah, maybe. So Samurai takes Iris away, and Joe goes back to Star Labs, tells Barry that Iris is in trouble, and we learn that those cells are not as unbreakable as we would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering about that. And I kind of put it up to he's really amped on Speed Force right now. So
yeah,
he's
gonna... Well, we learned that he is running faster than he has ever run before, or any of the speedsters, it sounded like. He was running faster than any of them had been recorded running before. He was running.
Yes, he was running.
So, awesome. Yeah, I guess it was just the sheer force of that broke that glass cell. And this is the coolest part of the episode to me, I think. This chase, the little slow motion moments that we get through the field of windmills and chasing, you know, up and down the running up the falling windmill to grab Iris out of the air and kick the samurai to the side and then running down another falling windmill. That was incredible.
That was awesome. Now, you know, I have a question though.
Sure.
Right before the windmill scene, I believe Sisko says, well, they're running outside of the city past Danville, and there's only one thing in that area, and then they never say what that one thing is. Now, did they mean the windmill farm or whatever it is?
I had a similar thought the second time I was watching it tonight, and I wondered if that was what he was talking about, but I still don't understand why it was important. Because, yes, there are a bunch of windmills out there. Was he just worried that Samurai was going to toss Iris into one, or what? I'm not sure what the stakes were there. That's a good question. If anybody listening has any ideas about that, please let us know, because I was confused about that as well.
Maybe we just underestimate the importance of windmills.
Maybe. Maybe. And I think this is also when Sisko coined the name Samuroid. Is that right? Or was that later?
Samuroid. We're back, baby.
We're back, baby.
That's great. That's great. And is Samuroid what he's really called from the comics? I believe it is.
I think so. Yeah, I looked it up briefly, and I do believe that Samuroids, and I believe there were more than just the one, but they were called Samuroids, yes.
Yeah, and this is great because we get the creepy voice. Once he rescues Iris,
yes,
and he pulls the mask off of the samurai, someone says, Flash, welcome home.
Which means that they were aware that he was gone.
Right.
Of course, everybody knew he was gone, but they could have thought he was dead. Obviously, they knew he wasn't dead. So you have to wonder, the man behind the samuroid, how much does he know about where Barry's been?
Right. Questions for later in the season.
So Iris has her Barry back, and they have their sweet kiss out in the field. So happy to see each other again.
It took a second for it to register for me. I was like, okay, is he going to say something beautiful mind-like again? Or, okay, no, wait, he's back. All right, yay, we got Barry back.
And he seems like everything's just fine.
Things peachy. 6 months? What 6 months?
Yeah, he said something like all of the pain and mistakes in the past seemed like they had just washed away for him, which is really interesting because it seemed a minute ago like he was having a lot of trouble with, you know, everything. So I wonder how much of the residual effects from being trapped in the Speed Force for so long we'll see in the future. Again, those consequences, I have a feeling we're going to see more of them. And I wonder, will he be completely back after this episode, or will he have episodes of Beautiful Mind again?
Beautiful speedster mind. I would like to think that he's back. I would hope that they would just have brought him back completely. it'll be interesting to see The Beautiful Mind, Barry. But, in my opinion, it's something that we can just go ahead and skip by. Because yeah, I like to see him in action.
Absolutely.
I like to see him doing his thing with his newfound confidence and his new power levels, even. That would be great. I don't want to dwell too much on what we already know has happened. He was trapped in the Speed Force. He was a little bit, time displaced. Mm-hmm. And he came back, too. Again, Iris has his lightning rod solidified that, brought him back to the here and now. So hopefully that's most of what we'll hear about that.
Yeah. Now that he's back, I think I'm fine with it, too, if he's just back for good. I know there are some people who wished that we had, a 2 or 3 episode arc without Barry, maybe, or, trying a little longer to get him out of the Speed Force, because it did seem really easy to get him out of the Speed Force. And then it seemed pretty easy for him to become good old Barry again, or good new Barry, whatever he is now. So, but I think it'll be good to have him back and, saving the city again. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else happens with him due to the fact that he was trapped in the Speed Force, and maybe how that affects how he interacts with the team and how he goes after the villains that we're going to meet this season. So I think that brings us to the end of the episode, where we see Caitlin return to the bar and to the creepy one-eyed man that I think we forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah.
With the one white eye. And she tells him to tell, is it Amunet?
Amunet.
Amunet.
A-M-U-N-E-T. Uh-huh, which is very interesting, because the Amunet from the comics was the ex-wife of Hunter Zolomon.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, yes, yes. She ran a black market for supervillains.
Huh, okay.
So what has Caitlin been up to?
And it seems like she surprised herself when Killer Frost came back out to defend herself from creepy one-eyed man. And did we learn his name? I don't know if we learned his name. It was just...
I don't think it was ever mentioned.
No, I don't think so either. Maybe she said it at the end there, but I didn't hear it if she did. But... yeah, Killer Frost came right back as soon as she felt threatened, and she made some excellent cold puns,
yes,
like you do.
Course.
And I guess she was sure that Killer Frost was gone, but I did wonder, whatever happened to wearing the bracelets or the necklace or something that maybe just keeps that at bay? Maybe she needs to get those back.
Well, it would be interesting to see if they explore that in the upcoming season, if they explore what happened to her in those 6 months, her journey to get that level of control.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to see that.
And is it actually control?
That's the question, because we thought she had control, but it seems like she maybe doesn't have as much control as she thought she did.
Yeah, she said, oh no, not again.
Not again. And I really, really hope that she does not keep this a secret from the team, because we are all so tired of the secrets. And we don't want to start the season out keeping secrets. So hopefully she will come back to the team and say, help me. This has happened again. What can we do to fix it? Cisco, make me some bracelets.
And it could also be interesting to see it used in a Hulk-like fashion. She gets angry, or if she feels endangered, she becomes Killer Frost, and she can talk herself down out of that. But heightened emotions will cause her to change. That'd be an interesting route as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I could dig that. And so we end the episode with a woman putting the Samuroid back together. And we meet, dun dun dun, the Thinker.
Thinker. I'm thinking, he says.
So I'm super interested to find out about this guy. I don't know anything about the Thinker. Do you know anything about him?
I know there were several guys that were called the Thinker, but from what Abracadabra said in last season, he mentioned DeVoe.
Oh, he did. That's right.
The name of one of the Thinkers. So I'm assuming this is that DeVoe that was the Thinker.
Okay.
Very old character, I believe, from like 1933.
Oh, wow.
Started off in Gotham, ended up becoming a Flash villain, and he had a thinking cap.
Okay. Yeah, it did seem like he had some tubes coming out of his head.
Yes. With tubes coming out. Yeah. He was pretty much responsible for organizing some of the lower level criminals, like some of the rogues and stuff, and giving them direction. I'm not sure what happened to him in the end, but we'll have to see where they go with this, because it looks like he's definitely got some upgrades.
Yeah.
It seems before he was portrayed kind of as a low level thuggish type of organizer of criminals. Here he looks like a high tech villain.
That is true.
But I believe he is the new big bad for the season. Yes.
It would seem so.
Not a speedster at all.
No, the opposite of a speedster. He seems to just be sitting in a chair. Or that's some sort of thinking throne. Well, that was the end of the episode. And yeah, it was a really fun episode. I liked it a lot. And I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to see what happens this season and if they go in some different directions than what we're used to.
Yes, yeah. I'm excited. The Flash is back.
Yes. All right, well, what do you say we get to some feedback? Why don't I start by reading some feedback that we got from Green Butterfly. She says, "Hi, this is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. My favorite part of this episode was Take Charge, Iris. I was disappointed by a few things, though. I love Barry Allen so much and I wanted him back, but I also wanted to spend a little time without him to see how the team would function. Just for a couple episodes, I also thought it might be cool to check in with Barry and the Speed Force. Also, I am super confused with the superhero science. Did they shove a time remnant in there to balance the Speed Force? I do love that the story is making it clear that time in the Speed Force has consequences, and we can explore those as the season progresses. The Warrior was so cool, so this episode gets 8 out of 10. Wally can speak Japanese! So happy to have you both looking after the underground. Have a super week. Love, Green Butterfly." Thank you, Green Butterfly.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and I think you are right, and that's something Jada pointed out earlier, too. They sent a little bit of Barry into the Speed Force to trick the Speed Force into thinking Barry was in there, which is kind of brilliant.
Yeah, well, that was great. Thank you very much, Green Butterfly. I've got some feedback here from Jeff Chambers, and it reads, "Overall, a solid start to the season. I wasn't a fan of the villain of the week, but when we found out that he was a pawn in the larger plot, I felt like it worked. Loved seeing Cisco and Wally have to carry the load while Barry was gone. It was a sort of hand-wavy moment seeing Barry back before the end of the first episode, but I don't think anyone expected him to be gone too long. Excited to see Caitlin back, and I'm loving that they're still giving her her own subplot this season." Thanks, Jeff.
Yes.
Great feedback.
Agreed, Jeff. I have some audio feedback here.
Hello, Elfie1 and Stories Boys. This is X-Force 11 calling in from Gotham City. Man, I really enjoyed this episode of The Flash. It was great to see the team mostly back together and get to see The Flash, a suit that really resembles his one in the comics. I am so looking forward to this season, and I'm so glad that the two of you have picked up the mantle and are ready to serve us, Central City to Ground. Keep up the good work. X-Force 11 out.
Thank you so much, X-Force 11. We are so happy to be here in Central City Underground.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. We really appreciate that.
We have just a couple more feedbacks, I believe. Here's one from a first-time feedbacker named Golden Gaga 25. Golden Gaga writes, "First time that I've written feedback, so here goes nothing. I was so used to crying and feeling emotionally drained from last season that I did not know what to fully expect. Overall, I enjoyed the hell out of the premiere. I do wish in a way that it would have taken longer to get Barry back. Watching the team trying to do it without him was fun. It did hurt to watch Iris trying so hard to be strong and move on, trying to honor Barry's wishes. When Barry finally returns, he was physically there, but his mind and soul was not. God, my heart hurt watching her and Joe have to go through it. But thanks to the words of wisdom from our favorite dad, Iris was finally able to allow herself to have faith in Barry. Deep down, she knew that he was never going to let something happen to her if he can help it. Taking that leap of faith gave him the spark he needed to come back. It was great to see our boy back in red. I also really enjoy the reveal of the Thinker. Can't wait to see what he has in store for our heroes this season. Well, I am off to watch Legends. Keep up the great job, guys. Golden Gaga out."
Thank you, Gaga.
Thank you so much. Yes, agreed. every time Joe gives advice to anybody on this show, it just makes my heart so happy. He always knows what to say, doesn't he?
Yeah, because Joe's the best. I've got one more. We've got one from Martin the Flash.
We do.
Hello, Julia and Jada. This is Martin the Flash. I figured you're kicking off your first podcast season here on GSM. How fitting would it be to receive one of your first feedbacks from the Flash himself? Anyway, guys, I wanted to say welcome to the GSM family. Welcome to the world of podcasting. I can imagine the nerves and stuff you guys must be feeling right now, especially following Tony and Joe. That is a tough act to take over from, but I wanted to give you guys some words of encouragement. Their chapter is done. Let's close the book on Tony and Joe. It's time for you guys to take this show and make it your own. And I know you guys are going to do a great job. I listened to your preseason kickoff episode today, introducing yourselves, and you already did great. You guys have great chemistry and good timing with each other, very well spoken. So you're off to a great start. Let's talk a little bit about that premiere episode that was just on, shall we? I thought it was great. So far, I've seen Supergirl, Flash, and Legends. And I think right now, Flash is the leading episode for this season's kickoff ones. I just found it had the most drama and emotion and great action. I mean, that was perfect comic book Flash action when he's ripping around the city. I mean, even the opening action sequence with Vibe and Kid Flash was fantastic. Isn't it awesome to see Vibe in full superhero form doing his thing alongside Kid Flash? That was fantastic to watch. I'm glad they brought Barry back right away and it wasn't something that dragged on for a few episodes. I love the new red suit. It's brighter. It's way more resembling the comic books version of it, even though it's still a leather suit. It just looks a lot better. I am just totally excited about that new suit. And I think Barry looks like he's going to be a little bit more mature and maybe have some wisdom from being in the Speed Force for a while. So this season, I think, is looking to be one of the best. And we got the Thinker at the very end there. That also surprised me. Cannot wait to see what he brings to Team Flash in form of a completely different type of bad guy to deal with. Anyway, good luck, guys. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. This is The Flash. Out.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, Martin. We really appreciate that message.
Yeah, that was great, Martin. That was sweet. Thank you very much.
We have quite a few people from Golden Spiral Media, the other podcast hosts, to thank for their support and their help and Jada and I getting started with this podcast. So we just want to let you guys know how much we appreciate you guys for all of the assistance you have given us already and the support from the Facebook group and from Tony and Joe as well, because we are taking this podcast over from Tony and Joe and they were just fabulous together. So we will miss hearing their voices, but I hope that the two of us are a fitting replacement audience's eyes or ears.
we truly appreciate all the support and help we've gotten from both the GSM community and the Facebook community and all the listeners out there. Everyone's been so sweet to us. Thank you very much. And
thank
here's
you.
To a lot more coming.
All right. Well, that is all of the feedback that we got this week. We have just a little bit of news, I think. I did find that there were a couple of awards won over the summer. The Teen Choice Awards happened, and our own Grant Gustin won Best Action TV Show Actor, and The Flash also won Best Action TV Show. And then the Saturn Awards, which are put on by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films, happened, and Candace Patton won Best Supporting Actress on TV, which is exciting because we know how fabulous an actor she is. So congratulations to Grant and to Candace and to the whole Flash family. Well done.
Well done.
As far as other news, there isn't a whole lot that we have right now. You may or may not have heard that we have a couple of guest stars coming up this season. As we mentioned in our mini podcast, Danny Trejo is going to be joining the cast. And one of my favorites from Battlestar Galactica, Katie Sackhoff. I am excited to see her this season. And I think we'll probably learn really quickly who they're going to be playing. So I won't spoil it here because I think I did read who she's going to be. But we can wait.
But good. Yeah, I haven't come across at all any information about Katie Sackhoff. So yes, this will be interesting. I can only imagine.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for this week. What do you think, Jada?
I think that'll do it for the season premiere of The Flash. We're back, baby.
Yes, yeah. We're back, baby. It's so good to be back. All right. Well, you can find us in the Facebook group Central City Underground if you would like to join that awesome community there to weekly talk about the show, spoilers, fan theories, and whatever you want. There are a lot of cool articles that get posted in that group. If you haven't checked it out, please do. You can also find us on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. Be sure to send us feedback every week. You can find links to more podcasts and feedback links on goldenspiralmedia.com. So we look forward to seeing you for the rest of this season. For Central City Underground, this is Julia.
And this is Jada.
Signing off. Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.